Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you never know. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, you're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptation, that's where you'll face.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome everybody to the Sound Doctrine broadcast. This is Dr. Ventura, and we want to welcome those listeners around the world who have written to us and gone over and looked at Brother Lewis's website and have keyed in on him and looked at some of his material. We thank you for your support and your prayers. We have a wonderful show tonight, a great program. We have this evening, we have Sister Joanna Woody from down in Inverness, Florida, and my darling wife, Marilyn, and my granddaughter, Savannah, is here. And Savannah's going to pray us in. We're glad you could listen. Tonight's study is on the Deborah. And I hope that the listeners will listen. If you're a man and you're in the home and you're listening because your wife is listening, amen to that. Amen to that. We just want to thank Nathan on the spot for giving us this opportunity to be a guest speaker here and Enterprisement Media and giving us this Thursday night program. And we just thank God. We're grateful for that. And so the program tonight will run for about a half an hour, around 6:30 Pacific time and 9:30 Eastern time. We'll take a little break, give you all a chance to relax and maybe check your notes and get something to drink and water, of course, or whatever is non-alcoholic, right? Amen? You have to watch today in society to tell somebody to get a drink. Amen. That's what I'm saying, that Dr. Ventura is out there telling me to get drunk. Amen. They're drinking during the program. No, I'm just being funny. Amen. And without further ado, I'm going to allow Sister Savannah to come on and to pray us in. I want to also mention that we need to keep praying for Sister Joanna down there in Florida. It's mighty cold in Florida. We're out here in that wonderful San Diego weather. And, you know, we'll suffer this 70-degree weather. But praise the Lord. And here's Sister Savannah, at the end of the program tonight, we'll give you some information. We'll give you an opportunity to call in during the program. I'll give you the phone number now. It's 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And you can press extension 1, or you can just listen. If you don't want to talk, you can listen by phone. You don't have to stay on the Internet. Or you can go to Nathan on the spot. If you're on the phone, you want to go to the Internet. But if you do call in, please keep your Internet separate from your phone call or mute one or the other. Otherwise, there will be background noise. We won't be able to understand you, and we certainly want to be blessed by your phone call. That's 347-945-5416, extension 1, and you can talk to the host, or you can just stay online and listen. And when you want to talk to the host, press extension 1. I want to thank you for joining us. Sister Savannah?
Say hello, everyone, and thank you for having the radio show right now, and we want to bless those people who are listening right now and bless Sister Joanna and Sister Marilyn, and we want to thank you for everything that he's done for us, and in Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
So what book are we going to be in?
I'm sorry?
What book of the Bible will we be in tonight?
We're in Judges, chapters 4 and 5. And before I start tonight, I'll give our study for February, and it's February 19th will be our third Thursday. And we're going to do an unusual woman. We're going to do Jezebel. And believe it or not, there's a lot we can learn from her. I pray not to be like her, but a lot we can learn from her. So February 9th, her story begins in 1 Kings 16, and it runs, you follow through, it runs on and off. She'll be kind of in and out until 2 Kings. So you'll have to follow in your Bible until Jehu finds her and does her in. But It starts in 1 Kings 16, verse 29. 1 Kings 16, verse 29 begins a description of her and who she is and where she fits into the word, and then on through you can read and see how what happens. We're kind of familiar with her, but there's some things that I pray that we can learn from her, and especially not to be a bad example. That's one good thing. But read it and see what you think, and then we'll discuss it on February 19th, Lord willing.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. And are we ready to go?
Yes, sister, we're ready.
You're ready. Strapped in?
Oh, yes.
Ready for the ride. Okay. Ready for the ride. Okay, this is a wonderful lady that we're going to look at tonight. Her name is Deborah. It means bee, B-E-E, like a busy bee. And one commentator said that she was a busy bee because of all of the things that she did. Said that her name suggests the work of the bee: industrious, sharp perception, discernment, great usefulness, sweetness to her friends, and sharpness to her enemies. So we're going to look at Deborah and see what we can learn from her. It's an interesting, interesting story. It's in the book of Judges, and Judges is a gritty book, if you will. It's after Joshua has died. Israel has no leader. They don't have a king yet. And the Lord, throughout the book of Judges, will appoint judges. Some are military leaders. Others just are judges who lead the people, meet their disputes and fusses and those kind of things, and judges over them, leads them, but they are not actually a king. Some things I want you to hear about Deborah before we start. Deborah was not a preacher. She was a prophetess, and we'll learn a little bit more about that as we get into the study. I'm not doing these studies to in any way promote this feminism and that kind of thing. God has always had a place for women. He always will. We should be secure in our own skin, because I've learned through the years that He uses us. He uses us in many ways, and that's why one reason I do these studies on ladies, so we can see how through the Bible history that women, I think one of the most amazing studies, and we'll do her at some point, is Hagar, the servant of Sarah that had Ishmael, what God did for her. That's an amazing story, and we'll do her on one of our studies. But Israel, the book of Judges is a war book. It's a lot of fighting. They're very interesting stories in the book of Judges, very interesting battles. It's a man's book. But in this book, God finds a place. There are two women, and they're both in our story tonight, that help to deliver Israel from the enemy. They're women of faith and conviction and courage, and good examples for us to learn from. There's also another point I'd like to make tonight, and that is the weapons that God uses in His warfare. I'm always amazed when God goes to war, the methods that He uses. When He wanted to deliver Israel from the Egyptians, the war actually started with a baby's cry, as Moses cried out from his little ark there in the bulrushes, remember, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. That was the beginning of the deliverance of Israel, and it started with that little cry from Moses. All through the Bible, He's used interesting things to me to in warfare, and we're going to learn tonight that it's rain that God uses to bring victory for Israel, rain. So you're going to see that in this book of Judges. It's amazing. So we'll get started with verse 1, and I'll kind of make comments as we go along, and then we'll close with some remarks that I pray will help us, and I'll be ready to make the break at 6:30. So if I get going, Marilyn, stop me, okay?
All right, sister, we'll go.
Okay, it says the leader in verse one, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ahud was dead. Now Ahud had been a judge right before Deborah, and it's really pathetic because these people, the minute their leader died, they ran amok. And over in this book, you'll see that the people did what they thought was right in their own eyes. That phrase is repeated throughout the book of Judges. And those of us today who know the Lord know that when we start doing what we think is right in our own eyes, the trouble that we get into because of that. So here they are again, no leader. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So for 20 years they have been without a leader. And that when it says that God sold them, it means that he turned them over, that he allowed them or gave them up because of their sin and their inability and disobedience to him. And they won't cry out to God. They won't ask God for help. So for 20 years, this guy's got a powerful army. And it's very significant that you notice these chariots of iron that he had. He was a mighty army, a strong army. So for 20 years now, they had been under the oppression of this Jabin, the king of Canaan. And the captain of his army was named Sisera. So we pick up in verse 4 and we meet Deborah. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Now, again, let me remind you, she's not a warrior. She's not even called a leader. She's just a judge. But they come to her to settle matters, and this is where she conducted her court. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she was at this time serving as a judge under God's leadership. She's not a prophetess. There were four prophetesses talked about in the Bible. One is in her name. Well, Miriam, Moses' sister, in Exodus 15:20, Huldah in 2 Kings 22:14, Anna in Luke 2:36. And the four daughters of Philip, recorded in Acts 21:9. So her position was this prophetess, and she was serving. So let me go back, if I can, just a minute, to this chastisement of Israel spoken of in verses 2 and 3. When we are disobedient, and I'm sure many of you have learned this, that when we are disobedient, we don't get away with our sin. Sometimes we suffer in our flesh because of our own sins. They hurt us. They hurt us physically. Sometimes it's through our family. Sometimes the Lord will deal with us through a family member. And I praise God that sometimes he speaks to us through our family members. Sometimes the Lord will work and take away finances, will put us in a position that we recognize our sin toward him in our money. And we always, as Galatians 6:7 reminds us, we always reap what we sow. The bad thing about sowing and reaping is that when you sow just one grain of corn, you don't get just one grain back. You get a stalk. And that's the way it is sometimes in our life. We may just do one thing, but sometimes it can have many consequences. So that's a good reason for us to keep our life right before the Lord. Another thing is when a leader is gone, people tend to wander. And I know many of you have been in churches that when a pastor leaves or if a pastor dies or those kind of things, there have been people that have left churches because of stuff like that. So when we commit to a church, we're committed to that body of believers, and we need to keep doing our part until God fills those positions of leadership. And that was what Deborah was doing. She was, in verse 4, we see her, she's doing exactly what she is supposed to be doing. At this time, at Deborah's time in the Bible, the Bible was not completed. They didn't have a Bible like we do. And I think sometimes when we read these accounts in the Bible, we forget that we have the whole complete Bible. And there's some things that go on that sometimes we misinterpret. This is in no means giving Deborah authority over the men in her life. It's no way giving her authority as the leader of the as a nation, except under God's authority. And the prophet, the word prophetess, says that just means that she received direct revelation from the Lord, and she shared that with her people. And like I said, there were other prophetesses in the Bible and mentioned, and she's one of them. She sent verse 6, and she got a word from the Lord in verse 6, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abidom. I'll kill these Jewish names. I'm horrible with them. Out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw close to thee to the river Kishon. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and with his multitude, and I will deliver him into his hand. So she was given a prophecy, and she gave it to Barak. And she, the neat thing about this is she said exactly what God told her to say. She didn't add to it. She didn't take from it. She just told him exactly. Said, hadn't God spoken to you and said for you to get this army together, and he was to get volunteers? Now, this is an interesting thing, too. They weren't organized. They didn't have an organized army. So they called together, and we'll see in just a minute, the tribes that they called together. But here's an interesting problem that she encountered after she gave Barak this prophecy. He said to her, verse 8, Barak said to her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, that thou takest, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, she told him exactly what God told her to tell him, that he would give him the victory. And he said, I'm not going to go unless you go. And she did not say, I'll lead the people. I'm not going under your authority. Even with this, and I consider this a weak man, she submitted to him. She said, okay, I'll go, but you won't get the credit for the victory. God's going to give this into the hand of a woman. And he was still willing to go. And this is where he called the tribes. And this is down to verse 24. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zaanim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak the son of Abiam was gone up to Mount Tabor. Now, these people, these Kenites, some of them befriended Israel. It befriended the Hebrew children. But this family, and we're going to see in a few minutes God's hand in this, they chose to serve Sisera and this king Jabin, who was Israel's enemy. So this man, Heber, he chose to, and his family, to stay with the enemy. And so verse 12, and they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinadab, I can't say that name right, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So she challenges Barak, the leader of the army that they've called together, and tells him it's time to go. So they get up and leave. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off of his chariot and fled away on his feet. In chapter 5, we're going to see how he was discomfited, how God discomforted him. It's one thing, the river overflowed its bank, but we'll see this in chapter 5, so I won't give that away until we get over to it. So he runs, Sisera runs, but Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all of the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. Remember, I told you that they had chosen not to attach themselves to Israel, but stayed friends with Israel's enemy. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and she said to him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in to her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. That's a rug or a blanket. And he said to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him milk and covered him. And again he said to her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here, that thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand. And she went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened him to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. I'm going to stop there because I've got a couple of minutes till 9:30. Should I go ahead and stop there? I'll finish reading it. What
hang
do you
on,
think, Marilyn?
Let's hang on just a second. We're going to see
okay.
What's... Dr. Ventura is here.
Hi, how are you, sister? Hey,
okay.
Nathan, do we have a caller online? Standby. Nathan, do we have a caller on standby?
No, I don't see him yet.
Okay.
You want me to keep going until he calls in?
Well, I'll plug him in. I don't know where he is, but in case he doesn't call in, today I had the opportunity. I needed some tires on my vehicle. I went down and I met Jose at Amigo Tires and Auto Repair, which is at 1504 Palm Avenue in San Diego, California. That's area code 92154. And these guys are experts in what they do. They have major brand tires available, new and used tires, computer balancing. They do all tire repairs. I mean, they're good. They'll do brakes. They do other work. They do good work. And I wanted to, you know, I had asked Brother Jose to come on at 6:30 our time, and I don't know what happened. I haven't heard from him, but, you know, might have got busy at the shop. But it's great to know that we have somebody there right on Palm Avenue, and if you're coming off the 5th off the 5 in Imperial Beach down Palm Avenue, you just head up towards Coronado, and you'll see Amigos Tires. It's on the right-hand side. and they're experts at what they do. Really, really customer-minded. I really enjoyed it. It was pleasant to be there, and they were, you know, just wonderful people. And so if you want a good experience with no haggle and no hassle, told me what the price was right up front, looked at my tires, gave me some advice on my brakes, you know, gave me some, you know, told me that, you know, he saw some dust here, and they're, you know, he was a kid's an expert. They're good people. And so I just wanted to plug him. I wanted to give him a chance. You know, I like to, every now and then we like to, we don't receive any money for the program. We don't receive any money for the advertisements. But every now and then the Lord will put somebody on my heart and who's worthy, you know, that has a loving heart. And God, you know, gives me that opportunity to give them an opportunity to let people know that they exist. That's Amigo Tires and Auto Repair, 1504 Palm Avenue, San Diego, California. Their number is 619-423-3670. That's 619-423-3670. And we just want to thank them for their blessing us today and all the hard work they did for us. Okay, sister, I'm going to turn this back over to you.
Okay,
God bless you, and I'm really
you.
Enjoying the lesson. Amen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Okay, we left verse 21 where JL had taken a hammer and went real quietly and put it in his temples and fastened him to the ground. He was asleep and he died. This is not unusual. We hear in this Western culture, the women usually put the tents up. These were nomadic people. And the women were usually responsible for putting up the tents. So she was used to using the hammer and the nail to do that and was a very strong woman. And so she killed the enemy of Israel. And verse 22, we pick up, and behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and she said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. When he came into her, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, that was a pretty significant victory. And Jael, the wife of Heber, has destroyed the captain of the army and killed him. And so in verse 5, Deborah and Barak sing this beautiful song, and we're going to look at that real quickly and glean a few things from that. Then sang Deborah, verse 1, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O king, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And then they praised the Lord with the Lord when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marched out of the field of Edom. The earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even before even that Sinai that came before the Lord God of Israel. What happened there, these chariots of iron, when the rains came, the river rose, and these big chariots that had defeated so many nations and had kept Israel at bay for 20 years bogged down in the mud, and they were absolutely useless. And that is how this army, this little ragtag army that they had called together, they were 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the neighboring tribe of Zebulun, so that was 20,000. Later, the ranks swelled to 40,000 with volunteers from Benjamin. We'll see that in just a few minutes in this psalm, song as they're singing. That discomforted that we spoke about in verse 15 was this river swelling and God giving them the victory, the rains coming. We'll see how all that pulls together in just a moment too. Let me get my place back here. The mountains melted before the Lord, even that Sinai before Israel. Israel, that Barak and Deborah are praising the Lord for who he is, for the good God that he is, and then they praise him for the way he got victory for him in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, and the days of Jael. The highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased, they ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Notice that she did not call herself a leader or a warrior or their give herself any title except that she's a mother, that she loved her nation, and she did a wonderful thing in her community. She fixed the roads so people could travel. She had the roads fixed, it says there, so that they could travel. Verse 8, they chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. There was a shield or, was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? Israel had been disarmed, and a nation that is disarmed is easily defeated unless their God is the God of heaven. And Deborah and Barak, with this army that they pulled together of probably 60,000 men, went against this great army of Sisera, of Jabin. At verse 9, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. They now go into praise for the people that helped them. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thy son of Abiram. And he made him that remaineth. Then he made them that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. And here's where their volunteers came from. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people, out of Maker came down governors. And out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of the rider. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was set on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, they were great thoughts of the heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there was great searching of the heart. These did not go with them. Gilead abode beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. These soldiers came and fought because they loved their people. They were volunteers, and they did not get were not paid. And then God, they fought from heaven, the stars in their courses against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then there were horse hoofs broken by the means of prancings and the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help. To the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. These people in this area did not come and fight with their fellow citizens, and so there was a curse put on their city. Then verse 24, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. And she brought forth butter in a lordly dish. the milk was more calming than the water would have been. And she gave him the milk that made him sleep. Verse 26, she put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out a window and cried through the lattice, Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot? Her wise ladies answered her, Yea, she returneth an answer to herself. Have they not sped? Have they not divided to every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, on both sides, meat for the necks of them that take the spoil. She's looking for a son. She said he should be coming. I should be seeing him come down the road. She even asked the ladies who are accompanying her there, he's going to be coming down the road with all of these spoils of war. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love thee be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. Sorry, didn't read that right. The land had rest for 40 years. So they praise God for his victory. They praise God for the rain that came and held these chariots of iron that they could do them no harm. They praise God for the volunteers that came. Remember the tribes that sent the people to help. They praise God for the vessels that he used for the people. The bravery of Jael, the woman who did this wicked king in. In all of this, we can see that God always has his people. He always has the secret people that come out, that step forward when he needs them. I know many times, Brother Peter, in your church, some people will step forward that you just weren't looking for at all. And Sister Marilyn, sometimes in our lives, people that we didn't even know will come out and help us in a trial in our life. God always has people that will do things for him. Remember her who held up Aaron's arms, or Aaron who held up the arms of Moses while Israel was in battle against the Amalekites in Numbers 17. Think about the prayer warriors that you have in your church. People that do jobs that nobody notices. I had this brought to me real clear one time. I was having a horrible situation in my life. I'd gotten into a little fender bender, and I didn't know that my insurance had been canceled. And when I got out of my car and met the young man who had knocked his taillight out, and I told him I thought I had insurance checked, and when I didn't, I called them and told them that I didn't have the insurance, and the boy's father just really berailed me. I mean, he just let me have it, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle it. I just didn't know where to turn. My son and I used to go over to the beach. I lived on near 4 miles from Melbourne Beach. We would go over to the beach and walk the ocean, and we would pray. And this was a Saturday morning. We got up real early. We were over on the beach walking and praying at 6 o'clock or so in the morning. It was just wonderful. Well, when I looked out over the ocean, it was as calm as a lake. The water was just barely lapping against the shore. It was just almost dead-looking. And as I'm standing there, my son had run off up the beach just looking at things while I'm praying. And while I'm standing there, I became aware of somebody standing behind me. And I turned, and there was this man standing there, older gentleman. And he said, "It looks like nothing's going on out there, doesn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, it's so calm. It looks like a lake." And he said, "Don't let that smooth surface fool you." He said, "God is moving there are currents under that ocean that is moving things and arranging things, and things are going on that you don't see that God is accomplishing. And he does the same in our life. Sometimes it looks like nothing's happening, but he's moving things and arranging things and meeting our needs. And you will think as you pray sometime that nothing is happening. And I thanked him for that and didn't quite understand it, I must tell you, but I thanked him. And when I turned to look, he was gone, just gone. So when I went in church Sunday morning, when I came in the door, a man came up to me that I knew his name, but I didn't really know him. I just knew him by name. And he said, you look very troubled. Said, is something going on? And I wasn't aware I looked troubled. But I must have. And I said, yeah. And I gave him this situation I was in with this man that had threatened me and everything else. By this time, he'd really gotten ugly. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm an insurance adjuster, and I can tell you what to do. And if he doesn't do it, you don't have to do anything. He said, you call him, you give him, tell him he needs to get 3 estimates because you have no insurance. He needs to present you 3 estimates from people, and you can pick the one you want to do the work. You'll have to pay for it, but you pick the one you want to do the work. So I called this guy when I got home, and I told him, I said, you know, this has happened, and this adjuster spoke to me in church today, and this is what he told me to tell you to do. And I told him, and he just started cursing me horribly. I mean, just horrible cussing. So he said, we'll go to court. And so my friend told me, I went and called my friend back, and he said, you don't have to worry about a thing. If he does not take one of those 3 estimates, you don't have to pay anything, because you've done what legally you're supposed to do. This was in Florida, so I'm not sure if this is everywhere, but it was in Florida. So sure enough, he took me to court. And as we're going up the steps to go in the courthouse, he's cursing at me. He's just all behind me, just calling me horrible names. I noticed a real distinguished-looking man walk by me, and he kind of looked at both of us, and I wasn't saying anything. I just kept walking, and the man kept walking, and this guy kept cursing me. So when we got in the courtroom, of course, the judge stood up, and I thought I recognized him. I wasn't sure, but I thought I did. He called me forward, and he read the account of the wreck, and he said, is this the way the wreck happened? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, and you've asked this man, you've presented him, or has he presented you with the 3 estimates on his car? And I said, no, sir. And the man stood up and said that I was not telling the truth. And I said, you didn't give me the 3 estimates. And the judge asked him, he said, under oath, did you give her the 3 estimates? And he had to answer no. Mm-hmm. And the judge looked at him and he said, I heard the way you were speaking to this lady out there on the courthouse steps. I walked by as you were cursing her. And he said, if you don't have 3 estimates, she doesn't owe you a dime, and you will pay all court costs. And that was he, when we left the court, he looked at me and he said, if this man harasses you in any way, you call the police station. And he gave me his card and said, tell them that I was the judge on this case, and if he harasses you, they will notify me.
Amen.
So God was working. I did not know. It was just like that man had told me on the beach, that God was working things in my behalf that I didn't even know about. Just like when that rain started that began the victory for this battle for Deborah, it started with one raindrop. One raindrop cannot do a lot. But 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000 raindrops can do great damage. And it stopped one of the strongest armies of that day. And that's the way we are in our church family. One of us by ourselves can't do a lot. But if all of us join together and worship and praise God and depend on God and let those that are watching us know that we're dependent on God, that he's going to deliver us, like he said in Psalm 37, he's going to deliver us from all of our troubles. I don't always know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. I know whatever comes against me, whatever happens in my life, I know that my God is going to take care of me. I know that. And if we display that to the world, what a difference the church would make. Jesus said he gave us authority to charge the gates of hell, that they would not prevail against us. And that's what we need to be doing. I never will forget one of my husband's favorite expressions was that we should be so brave that we would be willing to charge the gates of hell with a cap pistol filled with kerosene.
Wow.
And I love that. Well, as we close this down tonight, what can we learn from Deborah? What can we? What can you and I, Marilyn, Sister Marilyn, and us ladies, the men, what can we learn from Deborah tonight? Well, number one, she knew who she was. She didn't claim, as we read through that scripture, and I pray you'll go back and read it again, because I'm sometimes not good with these names and that kind of thing, but go back and read that again and read it slow, and you will see that she was very comfortable in her own skin. She was not, she didn't claim to be anything she wasn't. As she went through this victory in chapter 5, she just said, I'm a mother in Israel. She loved nurturing and taking care of the people in her community. She didn't claim any greatness. She was comfortable to be a prophetess and a judge for her people. She was very comfortable in her own skin, satisfied with how God had made her. I pray tonight that will be true of us ladies, that we'll be satisfied with who God made us. I know a lot of times we try to reinvent ourselves and redo ourselves, losing weight, gain whatever we need to do to look, those kind of things. But I pray that you're comfortable. You're the only raindrop. You're unique. You are who God made you, and he made you for a special reason. If there are young ladies listening, please don't sell yourself out. You're very unique, very special to the kingdom of God. Find out who you are. Be comfortable with who God made you, like Deborah was. She was a bee. She was concerned with others and busy and kept her life focused on God. And she became a great woman of faith, a great influence. The second thing that I saw of Deborah that I loved, she spoke the word of God under the authority God had placed over her. When Barak said, I won't go, he even said, I won't go unless you go with me. I mean, he's a warrior. And he says to this woman, I'm not going to go. And because of her faith, because of her strength, he needed that. She never one time placed herself over him. She went under. She said, I'll go with you. But she said, through this journey, God's going to give the victory to a woman. And she didn't even claim it for herself. She was talking about Jael. So she wasn't promoting herself. She spoke this word of God. She spoke the truth of God as God gave her, because they didn't have the Bible. And as God gave her these sayings, she spoke just what God said to her. And she stayed under the authority God had placed over her. Weak as that authority was, she stayed under that. She knew that was the order God had placed. It wasn't that she was not as good as Barak or any of. She had no issue with that. She understood her place in the economy of God and left herself in that place under the authority of Barak. I think that is so admirable. and that's a strong person that understands authority and submits to it. That's a very strong person. So she wasn't promoting herself. She understood. She knew who she was. She was comfortable in her own skin. She spoke the word of God under the authority God had placed over her. She claimed no big name for herself. In chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, she did another wonderful thing. She was community-minded. She made the area that she lived in better. It said that she fixed the highway so people could travel. They were in disarray. What a wonderful opportunity, ladies, we have to make a difference in our communities. There are a lot of things that we can step out and do in our community, civic-minded, and make a difference, make it better, and give God the glory for what we do in our communities. Every place, I had a Sunday school teacher, and this is one of the sweetest things I was ever told. I had the best teachers ever. And she told me when I got saved, she said, Joe, she said, every place you go now is going to be better because you're taking Jesus there. You represent Jesus. Boy, what a difference it would be in our community if we let Jesus shine through our life, if we took Jesus everywhere we go.
Amen.
What a difference that would make. So she was committed. We're not to be get so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. We can do things in our community. If you have an opportunity to volunteer or work with kids or do things to help families, take those opportunities and let those people see Jesus in your life. Deborah was community minded, made it better. The last thing that I saw in her was in verse 31, she was a godly leader and helped her land to have peace for 40 years. That's quite an accomplishment for her to take that place as a godly woman and help her nation to have peace for 40 years. I pray that we as women will see the opportunity we have in our nation to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to pray for those who are over us. I don't agree with them. I don't agree with a lot of them, but I do pray for them. They are in authority over me, and the Lord has told me in Romans 13, to submit myself to the authority that's over me. And if I do that, we do that by praying for those that are over us and to pray for godly leaders, to pray for our husbands. As we follow her godly example, let me give you a few suggestions here real quick. Support your husband. Support the men in your life, the leaders in your church. Support them. Pray for them. And as Deborah did, speak the truth. Be ready to do what you can do to make the difference. Let me give you ladies another thing. And a lot of times I find with a lot of women, they don't like this word of advice, but I give it regardless. We women are to know God's word so that it is our authority. You need to know the word of God yourself. You study God's word and learn God's word yourself. Let his word speak to you. Let his word be your strength. And I love preaching. And I love my Sunday school classes, and I love all. But I love alone to get with the word of God and read it for myself. I've absolutely found myself smiling as I see God do things in the Bible and laughing when I see God doing things in the Bible. And the way this book of Judges is filled with things. It's a war book. It's a wonderful action book. It's a moving book. Read that and see how God works there. Another suggestion from her life, make a positive impact in your neighborhood. you know, be willing to do things in your neighborhood and community, and live in obedience to God's word, so that we're not problems in our homes, in our churches, and in our community. Jesus said a wonderful thing about the lady that anointed him in Mark 14, 6 through 9. I love this. I won't give all of it. This is what I love from that. It's a wonderful epitaph for us ladies, a wonderful legacy for us to have. When the apostles, some of the disciples got mad and said, oh, she shouldn't have done this and all that, Jesus said this: she has done all she could. She has done all she could. How wonderful those words would be to hear for Jesus to say to me, Joe Woody, you have done all you could.
Amen.
That would be a great epitaph, a great tombstone, a great way to close my life for my Savior to say, you've done all you can do. I pray that's our prayer. Well, I have enjoyed this tonight. I have really enjoyed going back through her life again. She's a wonderful lady. I pray you'll read that, Judges 4 and 5 again, and just see how the Lord speaks to you through that. And then next month we'll look at Jezebel.
Amen.
Did you say next month is Hillary? I mean, excuse me, Jezebel?
Yeah. Close enough.
Amen.
That's close enough. Yes, Jezebel next month. See what we can learn from her. But I
Amen.
Pray you've enjoyed that. And I'd like to say again that for those of you who have not ever accepted Christ in your life, this is an opportunity. The same God that helped Deborah wants to help you through his son, Jesus Christ. And no man can come to him except through the Son. So I pray tonight, if God has been speaking to your heart, that you would submit to that. And to maybe some who have not been as close to the Lord, I pray tonight you'll rededicate your life and get your life in line with God's word and be of use in his kingdom here on earth. And I thank you for the privilege, Brother Peter, of getting to teach.
Oh, it's our privilege to hear you teach. My goodness. Yeah, amen. It's our privilege, and we're blessed, and as we are every month. I mean, you just promote the word of God in a special way, and we certainly appreciate it. And I hope the listeners were blessed tonight, and I want to thank you, Sister Joanna, for letting Savannah pray in this
evening.
Oh,
that is always wonderful. She's a dear. That is wonderful. I'm encouraged by that. Raising a little Deborah.
Amen. Well, let me ask your sister a question, not to extend the broadcast, but what do you think one of the greatest challenges today is facing Christian women in the world?
Well, I think one of the greatest, or to me one of the greatest, is that the world system that just says that we are not to be submissive to the word of God, and we're not to be submissive to the authority. And I think that is so wrong, because there's power when we stay under the authority of God's word and under the authority of those over us in the church and in our homes. And it's not a place of subordination or a lesser role. In fact, when we're obedient, our husbands are strengthened, our leaders are strengthened, our children are strengthened. When we teach our children about the Lord and live godly lives at home, what a great service we do to the community by raising godly children. Malachi said that's why God hates divorce, because he wants godly children. And most of the time, divorce tears families apart, and the kids are the ones that are hurt. Mm. So I think that one of the worst things is that the world tells us that, you know, the word of God doesn't matter, that this submission and all these other things that God asks us to do don't matter. And that's why I encourage women to know the word of God. We're great instruments in his hand. There's never been a time God didn't use women, ever.
Amen.
And,
amen.
Yeah, and I don't know why we let the world sell us that bill of goods. I'm not. We shouldn't be identified by careers and those kind of things. We should be identified by our place in the body of Christ. And I think that, to me, that's one of the worst things that we take from our daughters, from the women, from our kids, is that women have to strive to be like men. I thank God that I don't. I have my place, and I pray as Deborah, I'm comfortable with where God's got me in my own skin.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. That's good wisdom, sister, good wisdom. I hope that helps somebody out there who's going through some challenges right now.
Amen.
In their lives, yeah. That's important stuff. Well, next week we're going to try and get Brother Joseph Gibson back on from North Carolina. And we want to say hello to his wife this evening, who's faithfully listens in, and want to thank her. Yes. Hello, sister.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought I lost him.
Hey, man.
We need to pray for Kitty, one of our parishioners here at the Imperial Beach Baptist Church. One of the parishioners' sister. His name is Rhonda. And she's having a bout with cancer now.
Oh, man.
She didn't take well to the treatments, and she's been hospitalized. So we need to pray. You know, we serve a mighty God. The Bible says the question, what is there no balm in Gilead? And there certainly is. There is a balm in Gilead, that anointing salve, and that's Jesus Christ and his power.
Man.
And we need to pray for Doc and Lois. They're getting ready to move now. They helped me plant the church here in Imperial Beach, and they're getting ready to go to Oregon. Doc's 90, going on 91. Amen.
Amen.
And come over here and lead the church in singing and preach on fire like he was 20 years old. It's just amazing what
God
can do.
Good for him.
Amen.
Amen.
It's incredible. But also, we want to keep Sister Joanne in prayer. Sister Joanne, the ministry that your husband had that you are currently carrying about and burden bearing. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I sure will. My husband started out going into prisons, physically going in, and that was wonderful. But as his health deteriorated, his dad started us off. He bought us some Bibles, and we started mailing Bibles and Christian literature, and Chick Tracts came along beside us and helped us, and we mailed those in to prisoners, and it was wonderful. We got reports of men coming to the Lord and using the things that we were sending in to reach other men. So when my husband passed away, I prayed and felt led of the Lord to continue mailing these packages and the Bibles, and as long as the funds would come in to do that. And God has been faithful, and the money has come in. The people have been wonderful. I lost some supporters, but have enough to keep the work going on. Started out with 18 chaplains. I now have 31 that we send. All of the supplies are free. They paid. A lot of these chaplains, is you know, Brother Peter, don't have any help from any church or anybody. And what they get for the prisoners and inmates, they get out of their own pocket, if they even can do that. So God has been good, and these men that I'm helping have no means. We help two chaplains that work with the military. They actually work on bases with the military, with our service men and women. In fact, just got a letter from him that he had a Thanksgiving event and a Christmas event, and had 108 men and women saved right at near Fort Benning, Georgia. Yep. So, and then I've got chaplains all over, from Maine to California, that we're 31 of them that we're helping. And since my husband passed away, since I began picking this up, and I would say it was last June that I really kind of got things going, I have sent out almost 800 individual packets to prisoners, 800 to just individual men and 178 big boxes filled with the Bibles and tracts and books and that kind of literature. And I'm praying that I can, you know, keep that going, just keep those materials moving. And I just visited a prison near my home here. So I don't know what the Lord would open up there, but I did get to go up and talk to the chaplain up there, so it was wonderful. And I love going in. It's really amazing, but I have absolutely no fear of going into prison. So just, you know, wait and see what the Lord does about that. But right now it's the packages, mailing those in, answering letters as I have time from a lot of these men have tons of questions. And they're surprisingly not stupid. Some of these guys are very intelligent. They've just never had any guidance spiritually. And the Lord's given us this opportunity, and it's been wonderful.
So if somebody wants to support you, now you said that you don't charge the chaplains anything. You're reaching out to hundreds and thousands of prisoners over the years. And so if somebody wanted to support your ministry, how would they do that?
Well, they can make donations. The organization is called Mission Possible, Inc., is the name my husband gave it because of the verse in Mark 4, I think it's 4:9, where it says that nothing will be impossible with God. So our ministry is Mission Possible, Inc., and it's Post Office Box 1184, Inverness, Inverness, Florida, 34451. And my email address, if anybody would like any information sent to them or that kind of thing, or if I can help any of them. They have a loved one in prison and would like me to help them, I would be glad to do that. They can email me at Joanna Woody, all one word, at hotmail.com. Joanna Woody at hotmail.com.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Well, I hope that some listeners out there will think about that, and anybody who does have a family member or friend that's incarcerated, mm-hmm. There's, you know, they have plenty of time. Now's the time to reach their hearts.
Man.
And, give them time to think about that and read that Bible and come to know Jesus Christ. You know, most of the prison programs and are dealing, you know, with psychological stuff and anger management, mm-hmm. and NAs and AAs, but really it takes a change of heart. It takes
a
change
of
heart. You know, these programs are designed to change the head, but God's program is designed to change the heart. And we believe that a man who gets saved is not a recovering addict. We believe that he's saved. He's recovered already because the scripture says, if the Lord shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen.
Amen. And my husband could testify to that because he was an alcoholic. And when he accepted Christ, he never drank again. He never went through a program. He never drank again. May not work for everybody like that, but it sure worked for him. And you're right, God does. And I looked up the word rehabilitate, and that means to restore to its original state.
Yeah.
Well, nobody needs to be rehabilitated. We need to be regenerated.
Amen.
And that's infused with another power, and that's what we need to be. They don't need to be rehabilitated. They don't need to be restored to what they were. They need to be regenerated and by the Spirit of God, and that was our message, that you don't need to be rehabilitated. You don't need to try to self-help. That won't work either. You need the power of the Spirit of God in you to help you. Any change that comes will come through that. Any permanent change will come through that.
Hey, man, I used to tell the guys in the prison, you know, don't go to the parole board and tell them that. When they ask you if you're rehabilitated, tell them, no, I don't want to be rehabilitated. If I'm rehabilitated, then I'm put back in the same place I was before I went to prison. Who wants to
be
there? I want to be a new person. Hey, man,
amen.
Why do you want to send me back there?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Well,
amen.
You can You can reach Dr. Ventura at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter@gmail.com. Or you can write to Dr. Ventura at P.O. Box 1536. That's P.O. Box 1536, Imperial Beach, California, 33. I got to remember they have two zip codes down here. It's 91933, and I'd love to hear from you, and Sister Joanne would love to hear. As we said, all the program itself has been it's been a blessing. The opportunity to come on here has been a blessing. We've never asked for any money or anything, and we wouldn't do that. But if the Lord puts it on your heart, hey, certainly we'd love to be blessed. Amen. And so I had people come to me the other day and say, we have money, we don't know what to do with it. And I said, give it to the Lord. Amen.
We know what to do with it by Bibles, I'll tell you that.
Amen. Nathan, are you out there? Do we have Nathan in the background? Are you trying to put me on the spot? I guess he's trying to tell me he wants to get off
the
air. Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here with me? How you doing, brother?
Yes, I'm here. I'm doing
great. Brother, what's your website? What's your website that you can be reached at?
My email address?
Yeah.
NathanOnTheSpot@yahoo.com. No, NathanOnTheSpot@outlook.com.
Outlook.com. Well, that's a funny thing because we've all been, had so many different email addresses for businesses and things as we go along, and I can understand. Look at, I got my zip code wrong. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan.
Yes. Thank
love
you,
brother. Love you, brother.
We love you all. We love you all. We'd like to say goodnight to our audience, and if it's okay, I'd like to pray us out. Holy Father,
right.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that there are listeners out there that you have provided, Lord. You have opened their ears, Father, tonight, and we ask you to open their hearts. And, Lord, let them come to you. If they don't know Jesus, let them come to know your Son. If they're having trouble, Lord, let them just call upon the name of Jesus. Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord's name is Jesus the Christ. And, Lord, touch their hearts, those who listen to this message about Deborah, those who heard about the ministries, Lord, that there's such blessings, Lord, to think that we haven't begged in the streets, Lord. Amen, that you just blessed us, and we're grateful for that. We thank you for Nathan on the spot and DL, and we're very grateful for these things, Father God. And we ask you that you'd bless us and watch over us, Lord, till we come together again, that you'd bless this listening audience, touch their hearts, heal those that are sick. Heal Rhonda, Lord. Touch her heart, Lord. Do a miracle. Not just that she could walk around healthy, but, Lord, that she could continue to serve you, Father God, and glorify you and have that testimony, which is unique, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for this ministry. We praise you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Peter.
Love you,
love y'all.
Love you.
God bless you all.
Love you, Savannah.
Hi, Savannah.
Love you, Brother Nathan. Hang in.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Everybody stay warm.
Yeah.
Everybody stay warm.
All right. Good night.
All right. Talk to you next month, Lord willing.
Amen. Next week we're going to get Nathan on for a little bit at our break time, and Nathan's going to tell us a little bit about what he's doing out there. So we didn't get the opportunity we needed to because I want to get Nathan on. When I get Brother Joe on, we'll take a break about halfway through. We're going to get Brother Nathan on here because nobody really knows what Nathan's doing, and we need to know.
Amen.
Amen.
Sounds good.
He's serving the Lord faithfully every day. All right.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, God
bless.
Bless
you.
God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't go and say things about my father.